Welcome to the Caltex Theater, a full hour of dramatic entertainment broadcast over a nationwide network of stations throughout Australia. The Caltex Theater is brought to you by Caltex Oil, marketers of over 1,000 outstanding petroleum products, in association with Caltex dealers and distributors everywhere. Tonight in the Caltex Theatre you will hear England Expects, a story of Horatio Viscount Nelson and of his great love for Emma, Lady Hamilton, in the days when Britain was indeed a tight little isle, and all that stood between her and the mighty forces of aggression was the Royal Navy, and one of the greatest seamen of all time. Starring tonight as Horatio Nelson, you will hear Don Pasco, your producer, Cressick Jenkinson. The Caltex Theatre presents England Expects, Act One.
Lord Nelson.
My darling. My darling Horatio. Horatio?
Dr. Beattie, is there nothing you can do?
He's been wandering for some minutes now.
Who's there?
Dr. Beattie.
Doctor, you can do nothing for me. Go to the poor fellows who can be helped.
Why, my dear Lord, you will yet live to bring home the news of your own glorious victory.
It's nonsense, Dr. Scott, to suppose I can live. Beattie knows very well. But what time is it?
4:15, my lord.
Nearly 3 hours since I was shot.
Yes, my lord. What can I do for your comfort?
I have very little time. Dr. Scott, you must see my wishes executed.
Most exactly, my lord.
You must go and see my dear Lady Hamilton.
Lady Hamilton?
At Merton. You must tell her my last thoughts are for her. For her and my darling child.
Did your lordship say your child?
Yes. My daughter Horatio. They must not come to want. They must.
Dr. Beattie, did you know anything of his lordship's having a daughter?
An adopted daughter I knew of. It's her picture that hangs in his cabin. A lovely child of 4 or 5 years old. I've heard him say Lady Hamilton had the care of his little goddaughter. Very fond of her, he is.
My own child. What is it? What's that?
Another enemy ship was struck.
Pasco, is it you?
Yes, my lord.
Pasco, not hurt much, I hope.
A slight leg wound, my lord.
Pasco, that was an inspiring signal. It heartened the men. England confined in... No, you altered it. England expects... Well, she has not been disappointed. We have all, every man of us, done our duty. Listen, they're cheering again. It has really happened, just as I dreamt it as a boy. A long succession of victories. St. Vincent, Nile, Copenhagen, and now Trafalgar. A long succession of victories. St. Vincent, Nile. Oh, there was a great victory, the Nile. And after...
He's wandering again now, I'm afraid.
My dear Lady Hamilton, in London. Momentous days. Oh, momentous days.
Momentous days. Yes. It is 3 days since Horatio returned. Ah, to live to see this, Fanny. To see my son's return, the last and greatest of my son's returns. 3 years gone from us, blind, amputated of one arm, yet victorious. His country's savior in the greatest naval action of modern times, and acclaimed the most heroic figure of our age, the Battle of the Nile. Ah, no father ever had reason to be prouder of his son.
Papa, may I ask you again, just for a moment, to try and see him through the eyes of his wife?
With your eyes, Fanny, but can they be any different from mine?
The eyes of Lord Nelson's wife may perhaps not see him in quite so advantageous a light as his father or his countrymen.
You astound me. Has Horatio done anything to distress you, Fanny?
Papa, we have been at this hotel for 3 days in company with Horatio and Sir William and Lady Hamilton. Have you observed nothing to distress you, Papa?
His time is no longer entirely his, Fanny. However much our impatience may be to get him to ourselves, his official obligations make demands upon his time.
It is not of Horatio's official obligations I was complaining, but as his domestic attendance on the Hamiltons.
Sir William Hamilton and his lady are Horatio's devoted friends. For 3 years, they have acted as loyal hosts, as his nurses too, in sickness and peril, throughout his Mediterranean campaign. So, what are 3 days? We should be grateful.
The probabilities, Papa, as I foresee them, are that Horatio will devote the rest of his days to the Hamiltons, unless we prevent him.
I do not understand you, Fanny.
Will you understand me, Papa, if I say this? That our immediate removal from this hotel is necessary, not only to our good name, but to our very peace of mind. I look to you to support me in urging Horatio to remove without delay to the house Mr. Davidson's rented for us in Dover Street.
What are you asking me, Fanny? Horatio has expressly told me he feels it an obligation to wait on Sir William and Lady Hamilton until their own house be ready to receive them.
Which it never will if Lady Hamilton has her way.
You would do well, Fanny, to remember who she is.
Who Lady Hamilton was before Sir William made her his wife. Nobody knows that.
She is our ambassador's lady, the confidant of the Queen of Naples, the benefactress of the fleet.
An adventuress can be as much.
I warn you, Fanny, by all that you hold most sacred, to proceed no further. There is nothing you can tell me that either a lady should repeat or a gentleman hear.
Horatio is the lover of Lady Hamilton.
No one, my own daughter-in-law, or my own flesh and blood, can say words such as those in my presence.
But, Papa...
Not another word!
I do not speak without foundation, Papa. Lady Hamilton has been my husband's mistress in Naples and Palermo for the past year. Every Mediterranean station has been a hum with it.
And who are the persons responsible for so vile an accusation?
It was chiefly Sir Thomas Troubridge, an officer and a gentleman, Horatio's friend for over 20 years.
Oh, can there be such traitors in the world?
He is no traitor, Papa. He is Horatio's true and loyal friend. He did right to warn me. Otherwise, the shock must have been too great. There is no eluding the facts. This has been the talk of the continent for the last 6 months. Do you suppose it is not being whispered in London clubrooms tonight? It has reached the ears of the Admiralty, that's certain.
Can you, my son's wife, accept this infamy for the truth? I would as soon believe Horatio a traitor to his country as to his marriage vows. He has loved honor since he was a young boy.
Horatio is not the first man of honor to fall into a harpy's clutches. The tale's as old as the world. Doesn't Homer tell you about the enchantress Circe, who cast shameful spells over the mariners shipwrecked on her shores? This woman, Miss Emma Hamilton's a kind of Circe.
You could not speak so, Fanny, if your mind were not distempered.
I am not sick, Papa. I tell you the facts speak for themselves. If I had entertained a doubt before this evening, a lingering hope that was not so shameful as I feared, our visit to the theatre earlier this night must have removed it.
The theatre? Why, what happened?
Lady Hamilton suffered a fainting fit. She was carried to the green room where I attended her.
Well?
I was soon left in little doubt that she is shortly to become a mother.
On pain of my lasting displeasure, Fanny, I forbid you to proceed. And suppose it were so. Will you tell me what is there so extraordinary in Lady Hamilton's becoming a mother?
Nothing extraordinary, Papa, but most shameful. For I believe that Horatio... that Sir William is not the father of that child.
Oh, may God forgive you, Fanny.
I intend taking action in this matter, Papa.
Action?
Yes. Horatio must answer for his conduct. If he agrees to part from Lady Hamilton without scandal, to remove to Dover Street at once, and to sever all criminal connection with her forever, then I'm prepared to overlook the past and pardon him.
Beware how you enter into judgment, lest you be judged. Do you imagine this high-handed action likely to placate your husband? And if he utterly repudiates such a proposal, what then?
He leaves me no alternative but to denounce Lady Hamilton to the whole of society.
These are very late hours for you, Father.
Yes, I am extremely fatigued.
Well, you're not well. You must go to bed.
No, it is nothing. A momentary weakness.
Fanny, how comes it our father is not in his bed at this hour? Go, Father. You need rest.
So good, so devoted a son.
Sir Thomas Troubridge called earlier to take his leave.
Gone? Without seeing me?
He could not wait. Horatio, now that we are at last alone, I would like your attention.
Where does he start from, the Admiralty?
He mentioned Torbay at dawn. It is of the utmost importance, Horatio, I should speak to you.
I must see Troubridge.
Lo and behold, if the truant isn't returned, and smelling of fog and smoke and soot like a sweep's boy. I've kept a scrap of supper for you, my dear little sweep.
Your ladyship is very kind, but I have to catch Troubridge before he leaves town.
What? Is there no rest at all in those bones of yours? You're not going to pretext a matter of the service at this hour of the night, Lord Nelson. Neither Lady Nelson nor I will believe it, will we, ma'am?
Your ladyship is very merry, and let's note fully recovered from your earlier indisposition. But I must leave it to your good heart to decide whether I go or stay. The widow of one of my lieutenants, whose circumstances are more than distressful, has been granted a pension which has taken 15 months of my efforts to obtain. She lives at Brixham, and I want Troubridge to break the happy news to her on his way.
Noble, noble Nelson. All hearts are stone compared to yours.
Well, then forgive me. I must hurry.
Horatio!
What you have to tell me, Fanny, must wait for the morning.
The morning, then.
There now. Mother's confined with a chill. The fog, my dearest Emmy, must alone be blamed, so do not fret your kind heart for me. Didn't I say so? That Mother must be ill? Do you hear, Lord Nelson? Mother's laid up ill.
I'm sorry for it.
Why, my own heart's angel, what's the matter with you? Oh, what's this, Lord Nelson? You look quite fagged out. What time did you get back to the hotel, I should like to know?
I didn't come home till this morning.
Gracious Lord Nelson, where did you go all night?
Nowhere. I walked the streets.
Whatever made you do so mad a thing? Why, you look more dead than alive, and you've ate nothing since you sat down to breakfast.
I'm not hungry, Emma.
It's lucky I'm none too hungry myself this morning. This hotel's private dining room offers nothing much to stay the stomach. Soused mackerels. Ugh, makes you feel queasy to smell it. What's this? Kidneys? Oh, put the dish over the further side, will you, my love? Old England forever. But it takes a day or two to get used to the cooking. Come now, smile on your Emma. What? Not smile? Blacker and blacker frowns. Hang 'em. Keep frowns for the French. Emma will kiss away the ugly frowns. There. There. My glorious hero's brows must be kept fair with kisses, all ready for the laurels. Oh, Nelson, how you love me.
Never so poignantly as today when I feel our love threatened. Oh, it will kill me, Emma, having to part from you.
Who talks of parting?
Sooner or later, this love of ours must end. I offered my services to the Admiralty the day I returned to England.
But there's no question of their calling on you before the spring. Oh, don't frighten me, Lord Nelson.
Have you thought how we're to live till the spring? We're in England, Emma. We have each our separate rooms in this hotel. And we all share this drawing room to eat, receive, and make conversation in. Nothing can be again as it was between us.
That was to be foreseen.
But who could have foreseen this homecoming, the misery of it all?
Anyone with half an eye. I did months ago. And when I wept and wept and you teased me to know the cause, I said, because we're leaving Italy. But if I hadn't feared to grieve you, I'd have answered truthfully, because we have to go to England and face our enemies.
I never had an enemy, but the French. Oh, you have to be a man, Emma, and have spent your life fighting to know how reluctant the heart can be to carry the war into one's own home. But not a week returned, and my wife and I had open enmity.
She hated me at first sight.
Oh, I could never bear it till the spring. I'd rather go from you at once, or act honorably and confess all. I have never knowingly acted dishonorably in my life.
If Lady Nelson is put in possession of the facts, she'll tear my reputation to tatters.
Oh, she must tear me first. Let the blame light on me as I deserve. Lady Nelson must know why I love you. Why I shall always love you. It isn't for your merry heart. Though by a mischievous smiling you would seem to say so. It isn't for your beauty. Though that's bewildering. Nor your kindness, though that's inexhaustible. Nor your loyalty and courage, whose like I've never before seen in women. It's for much more than all these. Your noble spirit, your inward beauty, Emma. I adore you.
You used to say, one day we would sail away for Bronte and live for our two selves alone.
When the last enemy's beat. I've never turned my back on an enemy yet. Oh, Emma, I cannot live in this furtive atmosphere. I must speak to my wife.
Give her an inch of rope and she'll not rest until she's got me well and truly hanged. Did you hear those catcalls as we drove to Guildhall Monday? Could you see the finger of scorn pointed everywhere at your Emma?
I'll give this other arm in your defense.
In sober truth, Lord Nelson, I may need a defender sooner than you think. And not for myself alone. You could not talk of leaving me or worse still, of leaving me to the mercy of Lady Nelson if you knew everything. It's time, I see, I told you a secret. A great secret nobody in the world suspects. Least of all you. It's time you... Why, there's my own Sir William now.
Good morning, Emma. Good morning, my dear friend. Does the levee stand for today? Has the king come from Windsor?
His Majesty is expected to hold his customary levee of the month at St. James's Palace at 10 this forenoon. Mm. There it is, Sir William. We must go, I suppose.
Gracious heavens, Lord Nelson, and you tell me that now? Oh, only look at the time, and Sir William not yet dressed. Oh, my gracious me. What would not I give to be there? Lady Nelson goes, of course.
I shouldn't be going myself if these newspapers didn't give such notoriety to all my actions. But if I go to the Guildhall in the theatre, our governors will presumably judge I can attend the levee.
Shouldn't Lady Nelson be advised of the hour?
Thank you, Lady Hamilton. I am advised of it.
But your ladyship's never going in that gown.
Your ladyship may rest assured. I am not.
Oh, well, to be sure, all I meant was... Was your ladyship advised what little time you had to get ready?
Since I have no intention of attending the levee.
Fanny.
Not going, Lady Nelson? Not accompanying your husband to the palace on the most auspicious occasion of his career? Oh, my dear madam, you're not unwell, I trust.
Thank you, Sir William. I never go out in cold weather.
Cold weather? Why, the sun's bursting through.
I entirely approve of Lady Nelson's decision. There's nothing so tedious as the compliments of courtiers. And the day is, indeed, very cold.
Was that 9:30, Lord Nelson?
It wants yet 2 minutes to the half hour.
We shall present an ill-assorted couple, my dear sir. The conquering hero and the evicted ambassador. Between us, we represent the top and the bottom of fortune's wheel. Never mind. The gossips shall have a good day. Come along then, Emma. I shall need your help.
Till later then, Lord Nelson. Your ladyship.
Horatio, it is imperative you listen to me now.
I'm late and I'm expected.
I request that you make the necessary arrangements for our removal to the house in Dover Street.
For the short time that I have on shore, this hotel will suffice. When I'm gone, it's as you please, Fanny.
I must insist on our occupying a home of our own at once.
Have a care, Fanny. I don't much like ultimatums. I never yet yielded to one in my life. Until my friends, the Hamiltons, are accommodated with a house, we shall remain with them here.
So that you can pursue your intrigue with Lady Hamilton. Do you think I don't see what's going on? Do you think I have not been informed of what's been going on for the past year? Your conduct's been the scandal of the fleet. I do not intend it shall become the talk of the town.
If your only concern, Fanny, as for the talk of the town, you would do well to set guard upon your own tongue. What you say affects not only you and me, but the honor of my friends the Hamiltons as well.
I demand you give up this woman.
You are my wife. I do not contest your position. But respecting my choice of friends, your prerogatives cease.
You will have to choose then between Lady Hamilton and me. I will never debase myself to share you.
There is no power, none that you can wield, that can remove me from my fixed affections. The friendship of Lady Hamilton is dearer to me than life. I worship her. Do you hear?
You must be bewitched indeed to say so.
My Lord Nelson, Sir William is soon ready to leave.
Then I must prepare.
Good morning, my Lord, Lady Nelson. Good morning, ma'am.
Mr. Greville, your servant, sir.
Well, I seem to have arrived just as the signal for battle was given. Lord Nelson obviously mistook me for a Frenchman. Why, Emma, my dear, you look quite ghastly pale. Is it for fear of my being sunk, or of my sinking Lord Nelson?
Oh, nothing at all, I assure you.
Lady Nelson, would you kindly bring a glass of water? My poor aunt seems to have a fainting spell upon her.
I'll go at once, Mr. Greville.
Greville, what are you doing here?
I came to remind you, my dear aunt, of what is due to my uncle. I've had to remind you before, and now I warn you. If you persist in this association with Lord Nelson, I shall be obliged to inform him of the social debuts of Miss Emma Hart.
What a beast you are, Greville.
You've had more than one occasion, my dear, for saying so. Now take my advice and don't put me to the test again.
What exactly do you want now?
Only for you to stop making a fool of my uncle and yourself over Lord Nelson.
You'd better not try to come between Lord Nelson and me, Greville, or you may find yourself out of your uncle's will.
Why, Emma, that's precisely why you will do as I ask. To make certain I am not to be out of Sir William Hamilton's will. Without my uncle's child, Emma, that would be assured, and is. But with your child, Nelson's child, you... It is as you please, then, Emma.
The water, Mr. Greville, and these salts.
You can drink it yourself.
Had I not seen her as I reached the door and heard
it's
her...
It's Emma's temperament, ma'am, that has always attached her lovers. We can none of us complain that life was monotonous with her.
Mr. Greville, before Sir William married Lady Hamilton, was she... had she...
Yes, ma'am. If your ladyship is interested in the ascension of Lady Hamilton, it's quite a good story, as stories go. You see, she's an intelligent... Oh, I might say uniquely intelligent creature, ma'am. to have made her way from a Cheshire smithy to the arms of an ambassador. Oh, yes. It's quite a story. If your ladyship is of strong stomach, I can supply details that provide a great deal of color.
And so the curtain falls on Act One of tonight's Caltex play, England Expects.
Next time you fill your tank with gasoline, fill up with new power, new performance, new economy. Fill up with Caltex Butane Boosted Gasoline. That's the gasoline made to take better care of your car's performance. Designed for today's faster pace. Caltex Butane Boosted Gasoline at the sign of the Caltex Star, where we take better care of your car.
The Caltex Theatre now presents Don Pascoe in England Expects, Act Two.
Could be no way to end but this. Dr. Scott. You there?
Yeah, my lord. My lord, my lord, you're not here? The firing has ceased.
It's over. The firing has ceased. So, this is the end.
Here is Captain Hardy, my lord, come to bring you the news.
Hardy.
I come to congratulate your lordship on a brilliant victory, which is complete.
A complete victory. Yes. To be complete, it had to be like this. Who is that weeping? Could she see me now? Could Lady Hamilton see me now? She would pity me. She would think this a dark hole. You must tell her, Doctor.
Dr. Beatty, attend him now.
There is little I can do.
I leave Lady Hamilton a legacy. My daughter, too. And you must see to my king and country. My king.
The king's mad. The righteousness is mad. What right is he to be displeased with me?
Horatio, it's treason to speak that way.
Yes, 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 I know men are hanged for saying less, but to treat me so, the most loyal officer he has.
But what has happened, Horatio?
I made my bow. He said, "Are you recovered of your wounds, Lord Nelson?" And without waiting for an answer, turned his back on me.
Perhaps not on you.
Turned his back on me in order to talk to a colonel of the Foot Guards. He couldn't be asking after his wounds, that's certain.
Perhaps the king spoke only a word to everyone.
20 minutes! 20 minutes he talked to a colonel of the Foot Guards while I stood by. These are the people for whom we shed our blood. Not a word of thanks. Not a flicker of gratitude. You can lose your limbs in their service and you'll get nothing. A grateful sovereign will turn his back on you and talk to a colonel of the Foot Guards, while Nelson can stand by like a whipped boy.
I wish you would speak less loud.
And I'm glad enough to have us in the hour of battle, while they sit snug at home.
I must ask you once again to moderate your voice. The servants will be listening at the door.
Well, let them listen. It's comforting to the poor to learn they are not alone downtrodden. Did England know how I had been treated, there would be a riot.
Is it not bitter enough to your wife and your family that the whole court witnessed your disgrace? Must you seek to publish it?
You talk, Fanny, as though there were a reason for such a thing.
You know only too well there is.
Oh, I do believe all the world has gone mad today, and my wife with the rest.
This is no longer a domestic issue between us, Horatio. Your behavior has now become a public disaster, deplored by the king himself. That the savior of England should demean himself for a Lady Hamilton.
Demean? You none of you know what this incomparable woman is.
I know only too well since this morning what Lady Hamilton is.
What England owes her, not one of you shivering stay-at-home knows, nor cares to know. Because she's beautiful and good and gifted beyond the common measure, she must be disparaged, must she? She must be dragged down because she's too far above you. Oh, yes, Fanny, I said above you. Only a woman of the most superior talents, speaking several languages, aware of all the complexities attendant on life in a foreign court, could have served England in these last 7 years as Lady Hamilton has done. She has worked ceaselessly, intelligently for her country's good in a war where treachery was the only asset we acquired with her allies. I tell you flatly, as I'll tell the lords when I take my seat, as I'll tell any honest body of Englishmen met together, that if justice is to be done, and Lady Hamilton's service is adequately recognized, it can be by nothing less than a public vote of thanks, a government pension, and a post about the court.
She will never even be presented at court.
More shame to the sycophants who surround Majesty. Lady Hamilton is an ornament to any court.
You could not speak as you do if the facts were known to you.
What facts?
As you know, Mr. Greville visited me this morning.
Greville?
He has made me certain confidences.
A noted wastrel and gossipmonger. I'll not have him come near you.
He may be what you say. It places him all the better for knowing the facts of Lady Hamilton's past.
I'll have him out!
You'll have to have out all her lovers, then. Hear me, Horatio. She had already had two lovers before she came to him, whose names he can vouch for. Others he can only guess at.
Shooting's too good for him. I'll flog him through the town!
She was a servant girl, born in degrading poverty of a Lancashire blacksmith. And one can only guess what sort of a woman the mother could be.
As good a woman as breathes.
She sold her daughter into bondage at 14 to the first bidder.
Sir William shall be told of this. What a snake. What an adder is this nephew who fawns on him. Fawns on Emma to her face. To get his inheritance. You too shall answer for this, Fanny.
Not I. It's she who's answerable.
Put the flowers in a vase, Boo.
Here she comes. Ask her. I wouldn't breathe the same polluted air.
Ah, my Lord Nelson. You're back very soon from the levee, Lord Nelson. Didn't the heir of the court agree with your lordship? No matter. St. James is outmoded to a degree, they say. To think I cried my eyes out to be admitted. It's Carlton House that counts. I'm almost there, I assure you.
Your ladyship mentioned Carlton House?
To be sure. And you've not half heard the tale of my triumphs yet. I was bowling along Duke Street when my carriage was stopped by the prince's equerry.
Which prince?
Which prince? Gracious me, Lord Nelson. There's only one prince that matters, isn't there?
That's according to each one his taste. For my part, the only member of the whole family who merits interest is the Duke of Clarence.
Hoity-toity. I'll lay 100 to 1 you've been overlooked today. I see it in your lordship's eye.
Madam, what's this tale of Carlton House?
Well, who should stop me but a Colonel McMahon? He leapt into the seat beside me with one bound, and what do you think the saucy wretch went on to say? That the prince expressed himself as devilishly taken with Lady Hamilton, and would welcome an opportunity of making her acquaintance. He doesn't rest till he's dispatched me his equerry to intimate his willingness to accept an invitation to dine at Sir William Hamilton's for the honour of sitting next to Sir William Hamilton's wife.
But your ladyship does not contemplate...
Oh, but that's not all. He wishes to hear Lady Hamilton sing. He's heard great things of Lady Hamilton's voice, says he. I doubt whether he's heard the flattering things the great Haydn said of it. In fact, I doubt whether he's a connoisseur at all... But he'll do.
This is outrageous. No modest woman frequents the Prince of Wales.
Here's a to-do. The Prince of Wales invites himself to dine with His Majesty's ex-minister in Naples, returned from the very theatre of operations, an eyewitness of the worst excesses of those horrid French. And you call that outrageous? How is the Prince to keep himself informed if he doesn't consult the people who are informed?
If you hadn't been out of the country 14 years, you wouldn't talk as you do.
Huzzah! Don't you suppose I've kept myself informed? Trust Emma for knowing who's who and what's what at home. The Prince of Wales is the coming man, and anyone who's not in his camp, even victorious admirals, my dear lord, will find themselves nowhere when the regency is declared.
Emma, is this you speaking?
You've never taken me for a fool, have you? Well, I've always known which side my bread was buttered. It's something I had to learn quite early in life, my dear guileless friend. Anyhow, I think the prince a personable man. A fine, tall, portly man. He must come, 3 or 4 inches taller than I. We'd look well enough together.
As well matched as your ladyship and Mr. Greville, no doubt.
Greville?
Ah, the name's Wormwood, is it?
What should he be to me?
That's what I'm asking your ladyship. What is he to you?
My husband's sort of a nephew.
Come. He's no sot and you know it. What is he to you?
Your lordship's forgetting himself, I think. Because the king's been pleased to put a public slight on you, your lordship's out of humor with all the world and his wife today. That's your concern, not mine. You'd do well to walk a while to cool your temper, my lord. I have nothing to say to you till you've remembered your manners.
Emma...
I have nothing further to say to your lordship.
Emma, deny this thing. Deny this monstrous charge which I hear.
What exactly did you hear?
That there's anything, ever anything, between this man and you.
You offend me deeply. But you must know Mr. Greville's unsavory reputation, let alone his ingratitude to Sir William, are enough for me. I hold no communication with the man.
Heaven be praised.
Oh, Lady Hamilton, Mr. Greville left this note for your ladyship. He said it was of the deepest consequence.
What's this comedy, Fanny?
Lady Hamilton looks too overcome for you to call it a comedy, Horatio. I have but delivered a letter that was given me.
My wife makes herself the errand boy of a Greville.
Mr. Greville finds it very difficult to communicate with Lady Hamilton. Every time he approaches her ladyship, she faints.
Your ladyship's unwell.
No. But I must speak to you.
Leave us, Fanny.
No. I ask you to make an end. This situation is degrading.
Degrading? The man doesn't live who'd use that word to me, Fanny. Degraded am I in my own wife's eyes.
I must speak to Lord Nelson alone.
And I ask you, Horatio, do not see her alone. Let her speak before
me. I cannot speak before Lady Nelson.
Give way in this, Horatio, and you'll give way in all.
Your distrust offends me. Let this be final, Fanny.
Very well. But it may be that what Lady Hamilton regards as an inviolable secret is known to others besides herself. You have 5 minutes.
She knows, I fear. So on these 5 minutes depends more than your life.
My life is worth precisely nothing.
Your happiness.
Oh, can you talk of happiness to a man in torment? I must know the truth.
You never doubted me before today, Nelson.
You never gave me cause. I must know the truth about this Prince of Wales and Greville.
Oh, Horatio. You never before mistook a teasing mood for sober earnest.
But why tease me today of all days when every man's hand is leagued against me?
Because I am tortured myself and am not one to squeal under pain. I had a hard knock this morning when I visited Mother, the purpose of my outing. Miss Knight has left her because of us. It's been made plain to her. She will be received nowhere if she continues to associate with us.
I'll show the world of what I rate it's worth. A footcloth to throw beneath your feet.
There spoke my victor of the Nile.
Oh, Emma. Emma, are you truly mine?
You would never have asked that question before today. Your wife has poisoned you.
I can never live without you again.
We have only one dream of the future, haven't we? When we were free, to turn our backs on the world and go to Bronte. We have spoken of the home life we would have, of the family we'd found.
Where am I?
Come close to me, Nelson. Bend your head close to my lips.
Oh, I wish I might have died before ever I doubted you.
You will remember today as the happiest of your life. Nelson, my love, I...
Lady Hamilton!
Haven't you never been taught to knock at doors?
Knock? When the Prince of Wales carriage at the door and a smart military gent straight from court gives me these ear flowers to deliver into Lady Hamilton's own
air. Get out this instant!
Quick for the Prince of Wales! He's here.
Flowers. With a note.
Colonel M.P.H. McMahon, His Royal Highness the Prince of Wales,
vastly gratified at Lady Hamilton's obliging reception of his tenders, has ordered me to address this tribute of flowers to her ladyship in earnest of his gracious favor and admiration. Deceive me with the Prince of Wales, would you?
You're mad. I loathe the Prince of Wales.
And Greville, too. You loathe Greville, too, no doubt.
With all my heart. Only listen, Milton.
I have listened only too long. Your enchantments almost have me subdued. Could I forget there was a Greville?
I beg you, Horatio.
Not another word.
You regret this everlasting...
No more witchcraft. The spell's broken, madam. Penny!
It's for your sake as well as mine.
Penny!
You called, Horatio? What is the matter?
Pack your traps. We're moving to Dover Street this afternoon.
Ah, good morning, my son.
Good morning, Father.
Horatio, you have a visitor here who has waited the whole morning.
Here? Where? You, madam.
My Lord Nelson, I must speak with you.
You know this lady, Horatio?
Yes. She's Lady Hamilton's mother.
Oh, what an oversight. Madam, had you explained...
You'd better leave us, Father.
Oh, pray forgive me. I had no knowledge.
My lord, had I explained, I'd not have been admitted.
If you think it's a trick to entangle me, madam, it won't work. That is the way out.
Oh, I merit it. But we'd do anything for our children, my lord.
I know of nothing I wish to hear from you, madam.
Emma's in a desperate plight, my lord.
She'll get over it.
What's she to do with the child?
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Your child. Emma is to have your child.
I forbid you to jest on so sacred a matter.
Oh, I do not jest, my lord. If this were my last word, I speak the truth.
Why was I not told before?
For fear, my lord. Fear of Sir William. Fear of your lordship denying any knowledge. Fear of your lordship's lady.
She should have told me. It was not her secret to keep.
No, but hers the risk, my lord.
Risk?
A first child at her age, my lord.
Mrs. Cadogan, swear to me on your soul that Emma has never had a child before.
Should I be so anxious for her safety now?
Oh, my dearest Emma. Now,
Mrs. Cadogan, we must keep very calm.
Yes, my lord.
We must consider everything most carefully. We must secure the finest physicians in town, the most skillful nurses.
Everything shall be ordered for the best, my dear lord. But Emma's chiefest need is secrecy.
I shall stand by her in full honor. That I shall do and must do.
She tried to tell you the other day. So come, my dear Lord Nelson. What are you waiting for to make her happy?
Oh, Mrs. Cadogan. I wanted to be a girl. Another Emma. She has made me the happiest man on earth. Madam... I beg you inform my servants that if I'm wanted, to send for me to Sir William Hamilton's. Forgive my leaving you.
I have given orders not to admit you, Greville.
This happens to be my house, Emma. The servants still take their orders from me. I must remind you, Emma, of what I had occasion to tell you Wednesday last, was it? When you and my uncle left Nerot's Hotel. I don't intend my uncle shall be made a public exhibition of, nor have revealed my part in promoting his marriage to you, which would discredit me in his eyes and so endanger my heritage.
I hate you, Greville.
Remember, you shall not attempt to correspond or meet with Lord Nelson. You should know me well enough not to underestimate my threats.
Sir Willem!
What are you doing?
Yes, my dear. You called me. Ah, Charles, very smoky chimneys you have in this house.
I regret it, sir. Send for the sweep.
So I intend. Oh, Charles, you don't mind my hanging some of my stuff on your walls, do you?
No. That canvas there, that Circe there, belonged to me before it belonged to you, and I would...
Quite so.
It cannot, therefore, be out of place anywhere in my house.
I'm thinking of selling them. Stuck them there for callers to covet.
Selling them, Uncle?
Lord Nelson will buy these, I shouldn't wonder.
Lord Nelson?
Why not? He's my best friend, isn't he? He likes them. He's got the money. He'd be glad to help me. Have you any objections to make, sir?
No, none, sir. None at all.
My recall from Naples has cost me a devilish sum, I can tell you. But I shall pull through, even if I have to sell my last acre of land. Charles, you look quite pale. Don't fret too much. I won't disgrace you by dying in a debtor's prison. I'll sell all I've got, rather. Well, yes, Sam, you wanted me.
Sir Willem, I ask you, as you love me, to protect me from this man's insults. He has not ceased to affront me in public.
Have a care, Emma.
And to threaten me in private.
You always were a lying jade, Emma.
Charles, keep a civil tongue in your head when you're speaking to Lady Hamilton.
She'll drag the name of Hamilton into the gutter.
Silence her, and listen to what I tell you. I have no complaints to make against Emma. What she was, you and I will ignore. What she is, a lady of some consequence in the eyes of the crowned heads of Europe, I'll have you remember. For myself, she has fulfilled her obligations towards me. That's all I ask. But you, sir, you will do as I say, or sever your connection with me at once.
But, Uncle, you entirely mistake my...
I understand everything, sir. My honor, I can look after myself, thank you. My happiness would be enhanced if you would not meddle in my affairs. I am supremely indifferent to the opinion of the world. I will make do with our true friends. But you, sir, will immediately leave for Pembrokeshire and supervise work on my estate. Now, that's final.
I do not wish to offend you, Uncle.
Leave us, Greville, at once.
Of course, I shall do as you bid, Uncle.
My dear Willem, we shall always remain the closest of friends.
That's what I hoped you would say, Emma. You see, I'm not such an old fool as I look. No. Don't attempt to explain, my dear. I understand everything perfectly. A greater man than I will bring you a greater love. You're free of any bond to me, except that of friendship.
And I could not believe my ears when I met Mr. Greville and he told me that you were here, Horatio. Not only here, but alone with that woman.
Lady Hamilton is the mistress of this house. Anybody entering it must either show her the common forms of courtesy or leave it.
How can you speak so after what you know of her?
What I know binds me to Lady Hamilton forever.
I see. I have come too late. Have you thought that what I know today of her secrets, Sir William may know tomorrow?
Threats. We have lived very little together, you and I. Do what you will. You wish to denounce us to Sir William? Well, why wait till tomorrow? I can ring for him now.
Wait. My husband, Sir William, already knows all the truth. Shame on you, Lady Nelson. Call yourself a wife. You have shown how little you love either the name of Nelson or of England. You'll sacrifice nothing for either. Well, I will. I asked Nelson to go away, to remember who he is. Neither yours nor mine, but England's, to whom I give him voluntarily. But never to you, you close-lipped, cold-livered, mean-spirited little snob.
Emma.
I shall leave you, Horatio. At the first hour tomorrow, I shall return to Ipswich. Whatever else I lose, I shall keep my pride. But I shall never forgive you, Horatio. Never.
My dearest Emma, in the sight of heaven, I here solemnly take you to witness that I dedicate the rest of my days to you. I never wanted peace nor long life so devoutly as I do now.
Horatio!
Father, you here.
Horatio, I am the bearer of urgent dispatches from the Admiralty.
For me?
Lord Spencer sent them with a lieutenant. They had to be delivered to you at once. A Lieutenant Capel. Your ladyship must pardon my ill manners.
Emma, this is terrible news for you. They expect me in Plymouth by Monday.
Not sailing orders, Horatio?
My ship is fitted. You see here, the hour is very grave. I have the honor to acquaint your lordship that the board is pleased to offer you the command of the Channel fleet now fitting out for action in the Baltic. Go, Father. Tell the bearer of this message I shall be with the board within the hour.
Lieutenant Capel waits below. I shall so inform him.
Your ladyship's tears make it very hard to go.
No, they're tears of pride. Of faith.
It's you who is heroic if the truth were known. And you have given me the only thing yet lacking to complete my life. Emma, I shall leave instructions for your care and support. God bless you and preserve you.
Dear Nelson, go in peace. I know you will come back victorious. England expects it of her champion.
I like you, Emma, to put England first. Well, from now on, it's Westminster Abbey or victory.
Paddy, are you here?
At your side, my lord.
You know what to do. Give all my effects to Lady Hamilton, whom I have not seen in several years. Take care of my dear Lady Hamilton.
I will, my lord. Is there nothing for yourself that I can do?
No feeling anywhere. But the heart, I think, must go on. Must still go on, full of its love. Oh, what a mystery is man's heart. If we understood that, we should understand all. Hadi.
I am here.
I leave Lady Hamilton and my daughter a legacy to the country. Never forget Horatio. Kiss me, Harding. Now I am satisfied. Thank God I have done my duty.
Dr. Scott, is he gone?
His heart has stopped.
He was a hero.
A hero after the nation's heart. But what will remain with me always, long after his name has become a household word, is how human he was. He could not have been so complete a hero had he been less of a man.
So ends our Caltex play, England Expects. In a moment, we will give you tonight's cast and tell you about next week's presentation in the Caltex Theater. Ladies and gentlemen, the producer of tonight's Caltex play, Cressick Jenkinson.
Thank you. England Expects was written by Winifred Girin and adapted for radio by John Sherman. In the starring role you heard...
I was Horatio, Lord Nelson.
This was Don Pasco. The supporting cast was as follows. Lady Nelson, Laurel Mather. Lady Hamilton, Rosemary Webster. The Reverend Nelson, Geoffrey King. Charles Greville, Peter Carver, Sir William Hamilton, John Alden, Mrs. Cadogan, Nellie Lamport, Dr. Scott, Lionel Stevens, Dr. Beatty, Gavin Dyer.
Thank you, Mr. Jenkinson. Next week in the Caltex Theatre, you will hear Close Quarters, a grippingly tense drama of a man and his wife and the few desperate hours they spend listening to a grim radio broadcast of a police hunt for a murderer, a hunt that seems to come terrifyingly closer and closer to home with every passing minute. Co-starring in Close Quarters, you will hear Margaret Christensen and Stuart Ginn. Be listening for it next week. Now this is your compere, Rick Hutton, bidding you good night on behalf of your hosts, Caltex Oil, marketers of Caltex Super Gasoline and Caltex Gasoline, the world-famous RPM 1030 Special Motor Oil, and Marfac Lubrication.